There we go. All right. So last time I wasn't here because I gotten a COVID shot and it really wiped me out. So I had the COVID and the flu shot at the same time, and I was just like body-wise gone. So it took a couple of days to recuperate from that.
I also had them the same day a week or so ago.
The flu and the COVID shot at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah. Did it wipe you out, or was I just a weakling?
I don't seem to take any reaction to any of the vaccinations.
Okay.
So, whatever. Yeah.
That's good. No, it just made me like really, really tired and just kind of blah.
Yeah.
Hello, hello.
No.
I was just checking the YouTube channel and there was one just kind of confirmation. It says, question, does the selfless self we're talking about refer to the usual English meaning of the self, which is an egoless self? And yeah, the selfless self is self without self, where there is no knowledge of a self, because the knowledge of the self, of course, then creates the concept of duality. So selfless self is that self without self. And I think somebody else in our last, just before our last session, asked if it would be helpful to do meditation to try and gain access to the self or something like that. And I know Maharaj was really against that. Like he would say, okay, if you're going to do your meditation, you do your meditation, but not in like a group setting where we're all then saying, okay, I am a body who is now in a meditation session and I'm feeling so good because I feel this subtle sense of presence, just I. And then the I that's feeling the sense of presence believes that, oh, I'm gaining, I'm having progress, and I need more of these group sessions because I felt myself. And I think if I just had a little bit more meditation, I would be able to be there. But this is, we don't. In our lineage, it's direct. You sit quietly with yourself. You have the subtle sense of existence. You remain with the sense of existence, the sense I am, whatever you want to call it, until you concentrate on the concentrator and there's no concentrator. Where all experience ends, there you are. You can talk about anything as far as beingness or presence or I am-ness, because that's the illusion of duality. So therefore there can be speaking about this, but also knowing that this is just progressive step. No matter what you do in the illusion, you are in the illusion. And so recede, and give up even the concept of receding, and that you are. That's prior to illusion, because illusion has appeared to that you are. Presence, it's very nice that we say, oh, you can feel this sense of presence, this I am, but this is in the illusion. That's why Nisargadatta Maharaj says it's the doorway to your own self, because here's yourself, the sense of existence is the door. On the other side of the existence, the sense of existence is the world and all the things that you believe are true. But the doorway, you stand at the door. You stand at the door to I am until the door itself disappears, because there's no one there that can witness this door or perceive a door or have any concepts of anything. And that's that black hole that just everything dissolves within. And yet there you are. You can't dissolve, because if you could dissolve, then there would be like, it wouldn't even make sense. Like, to whom would the sense of existence appear? You're just formless, and without the concept of being formless, because we can say conceptually, formlessness is like what? Space or sky. Well, if at all you want to compare, you compare yourself to space or sky. So you give the mind like a little chunk, a little bite. Oh, I'm more like space or sky than I am this body. And that's a nice progressive step, because of course, space and sky have no problems that they have to be involved in. Space and sky have no, you know, like worries or concerns or any. So it's good to be in that place. But at the same time, then, you are more subtle than space or sky. You know this because you can perceive space or sky. That's why a very quick way to know yourself is to, as Maharaj says, you observe the observer until it dissolves. Instead of like paying attention to what's seen, as you're looking, you pay attention to the seer or the seeing, and put all the focus of all the attention on this seeing. And this dissolves because this seer is not in any form. And then you could say objectless awareness, but objectless awareness, even though objects are appearing.
Oh.
because it's just coming and going. And everything is this. There's nothing that's not coming and going except you, to whom all this coming and going appears. And if a flow of thought comes in, oh, I'm almost there, or I feel that sometimes, or whatever, understand that the flow of thought has appeared to that you are, which is not thinking. It's an illusory layer. In meditation, well, if you go ahead, sorry.
I sometimes find myself observing things, but I'm not sure if I'm like detached from it, or that I'm not necessarily observing myself, observing the things. Do you know what I mean? What I'm seeing, what's going on in the world, that I'm not, I'm kind of detached, like I'm watching a movie, but I'm not as aware of what about my own selfless self kind of thing. It's more like I externalize it a little bit.
Well, and in the beginning, if you're saying, okay, I'm concentrating on the concentrator rather than the objects, or you're seeing the seer, or you're seeing the seeing, basically, rather than looking at what's being seen objective-wise, you're mostly seeing this sense of seeing. From where does this sense of seeing come?
Yeah,
and
that's interesting.
and that will pull you in, because just like, you know, you look ahead at something, anything, it can be just outside the window even, and rather than be entertained by what's appearing on the screen, you're sort of getting into that projector. It's as if, okay, if there's a movie screen, projector is projecting the movie screen, and then there's like this invisible kind of filter in between from where this projector is projecting on the screen, and you're concentrating more on this before there's any images that are appearing or anything like that. From where is this? And that's the same as if you are sitting in meditation and you start to feel the sense of presence, the sense of presence. Now, to whom does this sense of presence appear? And this seeing, to whom does this seeing? Who is this seer? And even you don't have to say this verbally. It's just it's a knowing. There's seeing. There's objects that can be seen. There's the seeing. There's the seer. But then there's the power, the energy, all of this that's providing the capacity for the seer to see and the seeing. And that's the blank. That's where it like, there's nothing. We say nothing because there's no description. On the other side of the door of I am, we say there's nothing. On the selfless self, when all concepts of self are removed, even this subtle sense of existence, there's nothing. All we can do conceptually is say nothing. This is the direct experience when you're self-evident, because that's knock, knock on the door, nobody's there, but somebody had to be there to say nobody's there. To know the I am, the sense of existence, there's, It appears to something, to someone, to that you are. And when we say someone, then right away it's like, oh, it's a person. No, it's not a person. Because even the whole idea of a separate individual won't make sense there. Actually, the separate individual sort of stops making sense at the sense of presence. When you identify with a sense of presence, that kind of gets rid of this whole sense of individuality. It can't be individual. How? Because it's like space. So space is not individual. Even though the space in this room appears to be within this room or within this body, there appears to be presence. This is not exactly true. So it's not individual. There's the appearance of objects, just like the buildings and all the space in the buildings. When the buildings are knocked down, space is space. It didn't go anywhere, nor is it released or free. Like we say, oh, if we knock this row of houses down, then the space that was confined within those houses or this body, it's now become free. It's now become part of everything. But it never was separate from anything. It was just the appearance of separation through concepts of these are buildings. So these are buildings. There never was any sense of separation. So when you're identified with the sense of presence, you say, oh, so that I am that, then that gets rid of all the concepts of individuality. It can't be individual. And as you remain, oh, I'm more like presence than anything else, more like space or sky. And now, yet this presence can be known. This space, this sky can be known. So even this, I'm not. It's like sifting for gold, and you're sifting, 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 sifting. And everything is kind of fading through this sifter. Well, this that you are is sifting away all the illusion, all the layers of illusion. The really heavy layers of illusion were, oh my God, my life, I have to do this, and it's a really tough life, and you don't know how my life is, and I try to meditate, but I really don't like meditation. This is like the very heavy layers of illusion. And as you're sifting and it's getting more and more and more subtle, the most subtle is the sense of existence, I exist. And you just keep sifting. And then we can only say nothing. Of course, if we give nothing to mind, then mind says, what happens when I leave the body? Nothing? Oh, I'd rather experience something than have nothing. But all of the experience is within the bubble of illusion and is not true. It's kind of funny. I watched a movie the other night, and in the movie, they were talking about going to battle. And instead of saying people were dying, they said, oh, a lot of people will be waking up today. And I thought that was pretty cool because
Yes.
it's much more conceptually accurate than people are dying on the field. They're saying many people will awaken today. And it was a battle that was going on, but that's how they talked about it. It was in it was an Amazon movie. What was it called? It was oh shoot, now I forgot. But anyway, I thought that was really cool that they're like, they're all going to battle, and they said a lot of people will be waking up today. Because this is the illusion. You can say, oh, I'd rather experience the illusion than experience nothing. But you're like the grand experiencer. All of this is appearances within your own selfless self. Again, we can go right back with that to dream. You're all there is. A dream world's created. People are moving about, speaking, talking, going on walks and doing all sorts of activities. You wake up and you know, oh, that was just a dream. And it's self-evident. It's self-evident it was a dream because, well, it couldn't have been anything else. So when you know yourself in a real sense, it's self-evident that you are, and this is not true.
Got it.
Absolutely nothing is true. Ranjit Maharaj used to just say, put a zero on everything. And this is good because then you're not trying to, oh, but what about this? No, it's a zero. Why talk about the zero? And anything you have to say about zero is obviously a concept, imagination. Zero is zero, nothing. But we're so conditioned that we try to say, well, what is nothing? And nothing sounds scary. And yet you wake up, entire dream world is gone, all the dream people have disappeared, and there was nothing. For a time, there appeared as there was something. But the appearance was incorrect. An appearance came because of identification with the body form within the dream as this is me. And the belief then you forget even. Like tonight, when you're going to sleep, if you're dreaming, you're not thinking, oh, I'm awake, I'm the dreamer, I'm awake within the dream. Because you forget. This is why Maharaj says we're refreshing your memory. Because look how easy you forget your formlessness. Even in dream, you immediately identify with the dream body and have a dream and actively participate as if everything is 100% real. It's not until you wake up and you say, wow, like, and then you can see how easy it was for me to identify with the body within the dream to create a story that wasn't true. Maybe good dream, maybe bad dream. When you know yourself in a real sense, then you know, oh yeah, so that I am that. I am not body. I was not body. I'm not going to remain body. What happens when the body dies? Nothing. I'm not body. I was not body. I'm not going to remain the body. I never was a body.
John,
Yes,
can I
yes.
say something?
Yes.
The when we sleep, that sleep dream, for me, it's always an anxiety dream. It's always anxiety. I'm lost somewhere and I'm asking for direction, and somehow I wake up, then I know it is not true. But this tonight, when I go to sleep, I know I'm going to dream again, anxiety dream, but it doesn't bother me because experientially I know even if I suffer in the dream, it is not true, but I do suffer in the dream. But the same, but I'm not afraid to go to sleep. So that understanding is so clear to me. Even if I suffer, it is not true, but I'm not able to put that into the waking dream. So there is some gap for me to understand. Like a direct experience, a same thing, this waking dream, every day you wake up, it is no, you should not bother. It is though you suffer or be happy, it's not true. But I'm, there's a struggle here, John. I don't know how to.
Because there's still a sense of individuality. There's still a sense of I'm
Yes.
dreaming and I'm awake, and separating the waking and the dreaming. And to be suffering in the dream, I would suggest, as Nisargadatta Maharaj has said, and Siddharameshwara Maharaj used to say, read one chapter of Das Bodh before going to sleep, or read something from I Am That, or something like this just before going to sleep, so that you can, or sit quietly in the meditation on the mantra just before sleep, because it carries, because the you that you are doesn't sleep.
Yes.
These are just states appearing. So if you're taking into the state of appearing and saying, oh, there's worry and trouble, this is just an appearance. And as you wake up, you know, like you said, oh, I'm not worried about suffering in my dream. But it's
Exactly.
only because there's a waking up when you
Yes,
say,
yes.
oh, it was just a dream. So this just means that you need to know yourself in a real sense
Yes.
because there's still a concept that there's someone to whom all this stuff is happening or could happen.
Yes.
If you're not a body, nothing can happen to you. You have to have the conviction that I am not body,
yes.
I was not
yes.
body, I'm not going to remain the body. And this is through direct experience. No one can tell you. I mean, people say, you are not a body. You are not a body. But now it's up to you to sit and discover this. You feel this subtle sense of presence. You identify more with the presence than you do with the body. There's a shift. That's
yes.
like shift number one. This formless presence is myself, and it's everywhere. It can't be individual. It can't be cut, burned, divided, nothing. And this is like the first step of, oh, so that I am that. This sense of presence, I am. This sense of presence is within this body and that body and that body and that body, all the bodies. So no one can harm you or do anything to you because it's only you. Now, as you're remaining with this sense of presence, that's when this knowingness is known that this sense of presence has appeared to that. And you could even say, okay, this sense of presence, now that's the glasses. I see the world on one side of these glasses, but I know that's all on the other side of presence. So I have nothing to do with that. Then there's a knowingness that if the presence is here, who's here that you are? And now whether presence is here or not, because presence, the entire world appears on presence, so whether presence is there or not, you are, because presence has appeared to you. So now you are totally separate. You've removed the world, you've removed the body, you've removed death, birth, you've removed everything.
Yeah.
And there's nothing. And don't label the nothing, just remain. No anxiety, no stress. No worries. Still, you have this body. It's five elemental body. There will be troubles in the five elements.
Mm-hmm.
We see this every day. You turn on the TV and they say, flood over here and hurricane coming over here and high winds. This is five elements. Five elements is always going to have stress. This is a five elemental body. There will be stress. There will be
yes.
whatever. But it's not identified with because you know you're not the body. Or just like your car, you start driving your car, it starts making some noises or it doesn't perform as well. Okay, yes, you take it to doctor to take care of it, but you're not so concerned about, oh, what is this? This body is just your vehicle, your medium for a time. And it's not just this body, it's all the body. Because again, in a dream, you absolutely know. You know, you could have a dream that you're in front of a whole crowd and they're booing you and, oh, you're terrible, get off the stage and all that. When you wake up, you know, oh my God, like all those people that were being so mean to me were me. There never was anyone else. You've never met another because there are no others. Whether you know yourself or not, this is the absolute truth. And that's why, because it is the absolute truth, you can discover it. If it wasn't true, you couldn't discover it. You'd have to imagine it. There's no imagination. No concept. No. Nothing. I hate to say nothing because then nothing is like, oh, what is nothing? But nothing is the absence of everything. Because everything is illusion. Everything that can be known is not yourself. Everything that can be known is an illusory layer on that you are. And the knower is self-evident. Because you can't remove the knower. And if you did, who would know? What? How would there be a knowing if there was a removal of knowingness? The sense of presence has appeared to you. While this sense of presence is here, you're in the dream.
Yes.
Enjoy. If you start to get stressed in the dream, sit with yourself. You're the answer to all your questions.
Well,
you know, this happens or that happens, or even a bad report from the doctor. Just sit quietly with yourself. No need to even say, oh, I'm not body, everything's going to be fine and all this. No, because you don't need to use words.
Yes.
Words create worlds. You're prior to words. And therefore, you're not creating anything.
Yes.
You just remain with your selfless self. And this
Thank
knowingness
you.
Automatically unwinds. Jai Guru.
Okay.
One of the things that trips me up a lot is the sense that there, the beingness, that there is variety to beingness, and then you know, it seems like there's reality to the variety of, like, say,
only because of identification. Think if you took a cup of water and you poured it into smaller cups, and in each cup is a blue coloring, a yellow coloring, an orange coloring, a red coloring. This is much variety to the water, and yet it's all water. It's formlessness being poured into form, and therefore appearing as variety.
Yeah. It's just the elements.
Well, the elements are not true. They're within the... Again, you create the elements tonight when you go to sleep and you dream. Wow, you're the ultimate creator. You've created air, fire, water, earth. All this you've created because you create a dream world. And you do it spontaneously. It's not even like under construction. You know, you sleep one night, a little bit of this is built, and the next night, a little bit of this. It's spontaneous. All the five elements are coming from you. You know this. You wake up the next morning. Oh, I had an amazing dream. But it wasn't true. The same is true in this waking. It's just the concept I am waking, or I am sleeping, or I am dreaming. Excuse me.
But I love, I tend to, the other thing that trips me up is I love some expressions or some of the varieties of experience more than others. And I, of course, I end up getting attached to them because I like
it's same.
One better.
Until you wake up and dream it's same. You could have a romantic dream tonight that you find the love of your life. And you sit and walk around the lake holding hands and professing your love. And it's all, you are the one. I love you. I love you. I love you. And then you wake up. You could say you were attached in the dream until you realized it was just a dream. When you know yourself in a real sense, it's the same. Oh, I have a romantic relationship. It's very nice. But I know myself in a real sense. And even if the other person that I'm having this romantic relationship with doesn't know themselves, doesn't care to know themselves, doesn't want to know anything about anything, that's okay, because I know myself.